Welcome back here to 560 WQAM, and welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe as we continue on here on this Thursday afternoon. Appreciate everybody tuning in. In for Hawk and Crowder as those guys will be back next week. Brian, I'll be here with you today and tomorrow. Danny GQ on the other side of the glass. As we're happy, we announced at the top of the show that GQ is healthy and everything's good. And it was really never a question about GQ. It was just our situation yesterday with Chili Willy. And that was all over the place. But by all accounts, everything is back to normal. We're good to go. We're in great hands with GQ. And as we mentioned, we'll be here with you until 6. Brian, we got a lot to get into. I do want to talk about the ESPYs. We've gotten a lot of text messages that have come in with the conversation about Russell Westbrook and this idea of maybe exhibiting some patience and waiting for the summer of 2021. Just to reiterate, because we got some people texting and asking who the players are that are available in 2021. The potential 2021 unrestricted free agent group that summer could include Giannis Antetokounmpo, Bradley Beal, Gordon Hayward, CJ McCollum, Victor Oladipo, Andre Drummond, Rudy Gobert, Tim Hardaway Jr. Plus, you got LeBron James, Blake Griffin, Paul George, Drew Holiday, Spencer Dinwiddie with player options to become free agents that summer. And you could have some really high-level restricted free agents, including Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen, and Jason Tatum. So those are some of the names, and that's why if we're talking about the summer of 2021, as Brian accurately pointed out, you got DeMar DeRozan and Draymond Green in 2020, but 2021 is where we could have another possibility of just a massive offseason and major movement, changing the landscape of the game, all of that. So that's where the discussion resides. But we'll get to, and we'll read some more of your texts here as the show goes on, but I don't know how many people tuned into the ESPYs last night. I can tell you from my experience, Brian, I was going to tune into the ESPYs. And then this is a little sidetrack for us here for a second. But my cable and my internet were out.
Man.
So before I...
you got another week for them to come fix it?
Well, so before I left for the show yesterday, my cable and my internet went out. And so I'm spending, you know, my last like half an hour before I have to get here, you know, so I don't leave late and, you know, risk missing the beginning of the show, trying to figure this out. So I'm on my phone trying to troubleshoot stuff, and I'm resisting the urge to call technical support. And I'm not going to mention who this is because, I don't know if we mess with sponsors and all that other stuff. So I'll just keep it incognito. But, I didn't want to make the call because, you know, that takes forever. So I'm just hoping that when I get home last night that the internet and the cable will be back on. Sure enough, I get home last night and it's not working. Now, with that being said, when I left for work and then when I was on my way home from work, I saw that there were trucks from the specific company that is the provider in the neighborhood, literally digging into the ground.
Oh boy.
Like right around the block. And so I was like, okay, so something's going on here. So I called the technical support line. And this is around 7 or whatever time it was I got home last night. And I'm talking to this guy from technical support who's clearly like from the corporate office and not based here in South Florida. And I say, hey, listen, I'm having these issues. I've already tried to do all the troubleshooting things. So like, we don't need to do this again. Like, I've already done it. Like, I know what to do. But I said, there are guys literally just like around the corner. There's like 4 trucks and there's like 10 guys and they all are wearing your logo. And they're doing work. So are you guys aware of this? Is that the reason for the outage? And he's like, oh, I'm checking and I'm not seeing anything and all this other stuff. So I'm like, well, how is it that you have all these people here and you aren't aware of this? And he's like, oh, no. So then he's like, all I can do is tell you that these things aren't working. And I'm like, well, I know that. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I'm going to send somebody out. The soonest will be on Friday. I'm like, Friday? It's Wednesday. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm like, I need the internet to, look up what's going on for the show.
To do my job, man.
And I want to watch whatever's going on. I want to check. I enjoy watching SportsCenter just to get an update in the morning before we come in, if there's some insight or something. And I know it's a kind of a slow week, so to speak, but still. So I'm telling this guy, I'm like, this is unacceptable and all this stuff. And he's like, well, that's as soon as we can get somebody. And so they tell me they can get somebody there between 4 and 8. And I said, well, I'm not going to be home until 6:37. So whoever this is, I apologize in advance, but whoever this is, they're going to have to wait around to the tail end of that if they want somebody to be there to actually open up the door.
So this guy's saying all this other stuff, and he's like, okay, fine, we'll do it. I'm making notes. And I'm like, oh, geez. So at that point, I get off the phone with him on the phone way too long. Then I'm like, I'm now going to walk down the street and see if those guys are still out there. Sure enough, they were gone. So today, this morning, I get up and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do a test here. So I leave my place and I drive around the corner, and sure enough, all the trucks are back. So I park and I go up to one of the guys who looked like he was kind of in charge, and I said, hey, excuse me, you know, is there an issue for the entire neighborhood with your service? He said, yes, there is. And I said, oh, what happened? He said, well, somebody started a dig over here, and they ruptured the line.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, okay. So I said, everybody's affected. That's the reason, the purpose for the outage. And he said, yes. I said, well, I called the technical support line last night because nobody was here to talk to, and they were unaware of it. He goes, yeah, that's not too surprising.
Oh.
I'm like, all right. So I said, so I have somebody coming Friday, and he's like, yeah, we should probably have it fixed by tonight, which is great news. So I'm hoping when I get home tonight,
yeah,
I'll have cable and the internet. But part of the takeaway, and you and I talked about this off the air yesterday, is that we have become so reliant upon our technology that, you know, in generations past, in years past, depending on what timeline you want to put on it, if you had a night in which you didn't turn on the TV and you couldn't check your email, it wasn't a big deal, right? And even with that, I mean, I can still use my phone's data and like, look stuff up, so it's not like it's the end of the world. But we become so reliant upon it, and it's like, you know, in simpler times, everybody could go about their business, they could, you know, be prepared for work in other ways, but now I think we, in a way, are spoiled. And perhaps take it for granted a little bit, right? Because, you know, you're used to look at the Wi-Fi's working and all this other stuff. And then the moment it stops, it's like, whoa.
What do I do?
What am I supposed to do?
I mean,
your life and everything that you're accustomed to with your routine goes completely down the drain.
Like right now, if there was a Woj bomb, we wouldn't get it because Twitter is down.
Your Twitter's down too?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Twitter is down right now.
Something is technically wrong.
I remember last week, Instagram and Facebook were down. And literally everybody was freaking out. I'm like, don't you guys got jobs? Like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, literally, go to work. Like, what are you freaking out about?
And I suppose we can make the excuse that we need it for work, right?
We need it because we need the Woj bombs.
Maybe Twitter is down because of a Woj bomb.
It could be. Hey, maybe it's another earthquake.
That'll blow your mind right there.
Right, and now I'm going to have to keep refreshing ESPN like they're going to drop something really quick.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the technical aspects of all of this. But so the bottom line is that was a really roundabout way to tell you that I did not watch the ESPYs last night. However, I saw some of the clips online. They were posting things. You did not watch either, did you?
I clicked over to kind of see what it was all about. You know, I caught some of who was hosting again?
Tracy Morgan.
I caught some of Tracy Morgan's jokes and stuff like that when he was talking to Saquon Barkley, and that was pretty funny. It looked like he was doing a good job. I caught the speech from the young lady that lost her leg in war, and that was awesome. That was an amazing speech and moving. And then I caught Kobe Bryant doing the
Bill Russell introduction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, I caught everything else on social media.
Did you see the Rob Mendez speech?
That's the coach.
The coach.
I saw that on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
I was ready to run through a wall for him.
I saw when they did a piece for SportsCenter. I don't know if it was, you know, what they put it under a brand on, you know, SportsCenter. Like, I don't know. It wasn't obviously a 30 for 30. Maybe it was via E60, but whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say E60. I think
they did
a
long form piece on him. Last year, I guess it was. And I could not believe that story.
That was awesome.
It was just, it's so striking in understanding what he has to go through every day just to be ready to go out there, let alone be a coach, and then to see the speech. And, you know, just looking at him, it's amazing to see what he's been able to accomplish when you consider he has no limbs at all.
None.
And was born that way. And it's just, I mean, what an incredible, incredible story. The ESPYs, I'll say this. I mean, some people are like, oh, well, you know, that's a waste and all this stuff. I went to the ESPYs last year, and it was really cool. I will say, on an annual basis, they do a great job of providing like a montage and a summary of the year in sports, which I think is great for any sports fan. And then they highlight certain stories like that. Last year, there were three big things that they hit on. Jim Kelly was honored.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Marino, John Elway were there to honor him. And so that was a really cool moment. They also honored the Parkland shooting coaches and everybody involved there, and that was really, really emotional. And then at the end of the show last year, they honored all the gymnasts who had been through the abuse scandal with Michigan State and U.S. Gymnastics. And so, like, this year, like, that's one thing I think they do really well.
They do.
Is they shine a light on some of these really important topics or people's stories that you may not otherwise hear about.
Yeah.
And so that part I thought was cool. The other part last night, and again, I just saw some of the clips of this, but Dwayne Wade was honored last night. And if you missed it, so here's the background. Is earlier in the evening, I guess Drew Brees had won an award because I think best record-setting performance because of the yardage total and all this stuff. And so I guess he had done a nice tribute to his wife while, you know, accepting the award.
Wife and kids. I saw that one too.
Okay, you saw that. So then they have this shared best moment award between Dwayne Wade, Lindsey Vonn, and Rob Gronkowski because they're all capping off great careers. Although it's still weird to see Gronk as part of that.
I was like,
as the rumors swirl that he may return, it's like
I love the picture of them where D Wade's holding a trophy and Lindsey Vonn and Gronk are trying to like grab him, and someone on Twitter goes, "He took a wrong angle." I was like, "That's perfect."
But so D Wade had a lighthearted moment and then a serious moment. Let's listen to the lighthearted moment first. This is when he's up on stage with Lindsey Vonn and Rob Gronkowski, getting ready to accept this award and talking about his wife, Gabrielle Union.
Before I start my speech, I have to say thank you to Drew Brees. Because of what you said to your wife on stage, my wife looked at me with a death stare and said, if I don't say something up here, the car ride home is going to be long. With that being said, darling, you are amazing. You look incredible in this dress. I cannot wait till to 5 years from now until I get a chance to marry you again.
Oh.
All right?
Damn.
It's going to be a little lower budget than the first one, but it's all good.
All right, so there's Dwayne Wade. So I don't know how you felt about this, Brian, but when I watched that, I wasn't sure if this was just actually a really funny moment or if Gabrielle Union can be a pain. Like, I could not tell. Like, there may be, like, a middle ground there, but I wasn't sure if this was just Dwayne Wade kind of playing the part in Hollywood and they're having fun with the moment, or whether Gabrielle Union may have told him, "Hey, you better do the same thing for me."
You
I'm not sure.
Show me some love.
I'm not sure. I'm not. That could go either way. But it was cool to see Dwayne Wade as part of this, right? Like, did you have a feeling one way or the way?
You know what they say, right? Happy wife, happy life.
Yes, I've heard that quite a bit.
So, I will say this: I haven't encountered Miss Union back in the day once or twice in Miami. Mm. And she was, she enjoyed the Miami lifestyle, let's just say that. So I could see her being a little bit of a pain or a thorn in Mr. Wade's side. But if you look at their relationship from social media aspect, they have a lot of fun poking at each other.
Yes.
And joking around and cracking jokes on each other. So I'm pretty sure she probably turned to him before the speech and said, "See that right there? I better get some love for that, or you ain't getting no love for a week. How about that?" Now, it could be a joke, but I could definitely see the relationship that they have, her saying that to him. And then she's sitting there like this. "Oh, he's saying it. That's my baby. Ooh, yeah, you see me, girls. You see it. What's your man doing? Yeah, cheating on you. Not my man. My man loving me right now." Yeah, but I could see them having fun with that, though.
You're right. And you could see her, like, filming that for social media, telling him that, and then eventually him going up on stage. Now, that was the lighthearted part, and then Dwayne Wade actually gave his real acceptance speech, and I thought everybody'd like to hear it in case you missed it last night.
At a point, the game of basketball was all that mattered to me. The drive for greatness, it was my why. I used to think no one cared to hear what I had to say on certain topics. Why? Because I'm just an athlete. So I kept my mouth shut for a long time because of the fear of how I thought I would be viewed. But then I woke up and I realized that basketball, as amazing as it is, it was just a tool that was given to me to do more and be greater. I started to think about that kid that grew up in Robbins, Illinois, who just wanted someone to help him and his family. You know, someone who cared enough about people that they never even met. So I decided to become that person and be that face and that voice for my community. a face and a voice that I wanted and I needed as a kid. Sports have given us this platform. Recognize your power, use it to better your communities, and continue to fight for change.
All right, there's D. Wade. So I thought that was cool, man. I mean, he has done a really nice job, and especially at the now the tail end of his career, using his platform for good. And he has done so much work in this community, in Chicago, and now I'm certainly imagine he'll do that as he's moving out to California and keep that up. So anyway, it was nice to see Dwayne Wade get honored the way he deserved to be. Now, another part of this that I know a lot of Dolphins fans, when I say a lot of Dolphins fans, it's a slow time of the year, so it's like, hey. But, like, people were upset that the Miami Miracle did not win for best play. And I have to admit, I was a little disappointed when I saw, because the final nominees were the Miami Miracle, the Derrick Henry 99-yard touchdown run, Kawhi Leonard shot against the 76ers where the ball bounced on the rim four times. And then it was Caitlin Ohashi, the UCLA gymnast, with a perfect 10 score on her floor exercise routine. And that's who won.
Well, she gave a great speech.
It was very creative.
She gave a good speech where she was, you know, telling the women, like, don't bring each other down. We can all be equal and empower each other and stuff like that. I was like, okay, tell them, girl.
Right, because I guess after her video went viral, because also won an award for top sports viral video, I guess. Okay. After that went viral, I guess she got a lot of blowback. Is it like, there's all these miserable people out there, right?
So I mean, yeah. I don't know if you saw the picture today of the actor that played Aquaman. Did you see that viral picture?
Jason Momoa.
Where someone said they were body shaming him. Like, look at this. What happened to his dad bod? And I'm looking at the picture going, if that's a dad bod, I want to see what we would call half of you people out there. They're commenting on the picture.
I thought the same thing. I saw that he was trending. And then you know, there's like, you know, depending on if you're on your phone or if you're, you know, using Twitter on the computer. But on my phone, I saw he was trending and it said, like, you know, he's being body shamed for having a dad bod. And I clicked on it because I'm like, well, what happened to him? Like, did he just eat for the last 2 months? Because, like, I saw him when he was on SNL not long ago, and he was taking his shirt off, and he looked fine. You know, he looked like he was in good shape. Now, granted, like, if you're saying when he's in the movie and he's absolutely ripped, that's one thing. Now, he doesn't look like he's, like, absolutely, like, got no body fat on him, but he looks really good.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, they're ripping that guy?
Exactly. But that's what society is, because people behind the keyboard and a phone can say whatever they want with no blowback.
Right.
By the way, there's a thing called cutting that these actors do for movies that sucks. Like, I've done it before. It's miserable. Like, you're literally measured food, every ounces. You got to eat at certain times. You got to get your cardio in. You got to get your gym in twice a day. Like, they go through hell to look the way they look in the movies. You can't keep it up. You just can't. It's not a lifestyle type eating.
So they do that just so they can look good for a short period
exactly.
of time.
Exactly. You do it just for the movie. Right. So you'll do like a cutting thing for, you know, they go to the extreme. So you'll hear them saying, oh, I was in intense training for 4 to 6 months just for this movie. So, of course, they're going to look the T because all they do is eat, breathe, looking good. Well, after you're done, the only thing you want to do is go relax, go drink.
Eat a cheeseburger.
Eat whatever you want. So when I laugh all the time when you see people body shame people, I'm like, please, please post a picture of you with your shirt off. Just please post it. Just go ahead. Now you can body shame after you post your photo. And I guess that she was getting blowback because people were saying that she was thick or fat or whatnot. I'm like, do you know how much muscle she has on her body?
Right.
She is in insanely great shape. Gymnasts are one of the most insanely great shapes. Yes, they might not be the most tall women in the world because normally they do a lot of stuff for stunts or growth. But how strong they are and what they look like? Shoot. All right. Hey, listen. I always say this. If you're going to talk trash about somebody's body, put a picture up. Let us get some pictures back to you. Let us talk about you. How about that? Half those people ain't going to do that. Scared to do that.
No. And you know, pretty much, I would guarantee 99% of them have no room to talk anyway.
No.
Right?
I literally saw a meme that I'm going to post today. And it had like the Miss Universe pageant going on. And it says, and on the bottom, there's a guy on the couch. And he goes, look at her nose. It's horrible. And he's a fat guy with a beer in his hand with a shirt off on the couch. And that's exactly most of the people that are writing in or posting these things about people that don't look the ideal that they do on screen, or the gymnast that doesn't look ideal of what your typical woman is. Well, hey, by the way, more typical women are thicker. More typical women have more meat on their bones than what you see in the movies or on models and in magazines and stuff like that. And by the time, half the time, when you see those models and people in person, you want to be like, can I get you a steak or like a burger? Like, maybe I give you some fries because, man, you are hurting right there. Like, I feel like if you breathe, your heart's going to pop out your chest.
Like, too skinny.
Too skinny.
Right. Like, almost unhealthy.
Yeah. Like, right. And then you talk to those girls and they hate it. But that's what they have to do to get down to that weight because they need to look a certain way so the clothes hangs a certain way.
And then it, you know, it gets into the conversation of creating unrealistic expectations for the youth. You know,
and now you get these girls on social media that want to look like this, you know, this person. And I'm like, you know, that's like airbrush and makeup and fake and like surgeries, like
Photoshop.
Be you. Be you.
Yeah.
Be like natural. Be you.
All right, so let's hold that thought for a second. We'll come back. I do want to talk more about the Miami Miracle, Odell Beckham last night as well. You just brought up what's been trending on social media. There's another story as well that you brought to my attention yesterday, and it has absolutely blown up. So we'll get into all of that when we come back here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. We're back here on 560. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder on this Thursday. Danny GQ with us as well. Hope everybody is doing well out there. We got a lot of texts rolling in here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 560-22. 560-22. Since Twitter's down, people are trying to trick us and tell us all sorts of fake woke bombs and stuff. We'll see. I haven't seen any actual substance to any of this, but we'll let you know if anything comes through. Some people are saying that Tracy Morgan was not very good last night as the host, but I will reserve judgment since I didn't get to see anything that he did.
I only saw one segment with him.
And you said it was pretty funny.
He had some good lines.
Okay. Yeah.
He held his own.
Meanwhile, we got some people. Again, I, for the most part, you know, sometimes when the conversation gets going, we do not, you know, read all the texts, and I apologize for that because we get going and everything, and you know, that's the way it works. But I am an equal opportunity text reader, so I'll read the good, I'll read the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, "Can Pat Riley throw in Likens and Duarte and ship them to OKC and do us all a favor and keep Bam?"
Man, how'd you get thrown in that basketball
thing?
Aren't you supposed to be the good one, not Duarte?
I don't know. Well, that happened. Meanwhile, somebody says Greg Likens definitely has a dad bod. Get in the gym already. I mean, you know, I'm not going to come on here and act like I've got a great body or anything like that. But I know, and you work out all the time. I know, but I did a workout this morning, so I was in the gym.
Okay,
this
there
morning,
you go.
So you know, like I stay in decent shape. But listen, I don't do any. What was the description you used? The cutback and all that stuff. Like
what the cut
that the actors do. The
yeah,
cut?
They make a cut.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Yeah, it's intense, but it works. It works. It got me in the best shape of my life.
It must, but it must be miserable too.
It's not as bad, but if you're like in a city like Miami, it's tough because you go to social gatherings, you can't drink. You go out to dinner, you got to eat fish, you got to eat chicken and salad. Like it's tough in that aspect. Like sacrificing sucks. But if you want that ultimate goal, which don't get me wrong, it's a great feeling when you take your shirt off and you feel good about yourself. It's a tough road to get there though. That it is. I mean, I went and did it and I cut from being 215 and I cut down to 208, but I dropped my body percent fat from 13 to 7.5.
Wow.
And yeah. I was
over
like,
what period of time?
It was a 2.5 month cut.
Okay.
So like the first 4 weeks, you can't have a drink. You can't have a cheat meal. The next 4 weeks, you can have one cheat meal, one drink, and then you can get into what you want to be.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the mental discipline.
Man, it just sucks in Miami. It's like everyone's like, "Hey, Monroe, you want to go out and grab a drink?" I'm like, "Yes, I do. Come on, let's go." Like, that's the hard part. It's like every time your friends want to go out or you want to go on a date or something, like you don't want to be that guy. You want to enjoy it,
right? Yeah, and you don't generally want to be that guy, right? Like,
nah.
Like even if you're like you're going to if, drinks aside, if you're having a meal and you go to a restaurant, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, you're asking the waiter like about the nutrition facts for each meal, and you know, like that's.
I mean, my friends already know when I do mine's always like my diet and stuff like that, and I tell girls all the time if you know we're dating or not, I'm like, listen, come after the Super Bowl, all the fun's done. I'm going to be boring again. Try to lose what this football season gained me. It was bad this year. It was bad. I got big. I got up to 228.
You were 228?
Yeah.
Wow.
Come February.
Okay.
I'm down to 210, but yeah, bad. Probably looked like Aquaman over there, huh?
Well, I was going to say, anybody who doesn't know Brian, I mean, like, if he's 228 or 210, like, he still looks like he's in good shape. So it wasn't like there were anybody who was holding an intervention for him. He's like, hey, man, you're ballooning up to 228. There's an issue here.
I got as big as up to 225 at Miami, though.
Just when you were playing?
Trying to play receiver.
Muscle weight?
I was like, man, I need to gain some weight to go across the middle. I couldn't hold it, though. I couldn't run up the hill to save my life. Cramped up. I was like, yeah, coach, I'm going back to 215. Gotta go.
And you're what, 6'2", 6'3"?
6'2".
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because I will say that there was a point in time for me, I'd say 3-4 years ago, like when I was working in radio and I would argue I was living the stereotypical lifestyle of somebody who's in this business where you don't take care of yourself, all this other stuff. And so I've never been overweight, but I, you know, had packed on some pounds. And so three years ago, started exercise regularly, started to watch what I was eating, and I dropped like 15, 20 pounds and have been feeling good ever since. Now, with that being said, I don't look like Jason Momoa with my shirt off. I don't look like Brian with his shirt off when he does the cut. But, you know, I could hold my own.
If you feel good about yourself.
If the Zach Duartes of the world want to challenge me to a basketball matchup, you know. So,
boy.
By the way, I'm going to be with him all next week.
Goodness.
For 3 or 4 days. And, yeah, so maybe we'll iron out some details on this.
I need to tune in for that one. I'm going to tune in for that one.
I think he and I will be able to at least maybe negotiate the terms.
You should be able to, right?
And we got to figure this out and...
Listen, maybe you guys settle it over there because where you guys are going, there's not much to do, right?
Yeah, we'll be in Birmingham, Alabama for the SEC Media Days.
Yeehaw! Come on, Clayton, come on down.
I get the feeling I'm going to see a lot of like the Roll Tide folks and then the Auburn Tigers fans. And
Don't touch their trees.
A mix of all of that. Okay, so I want to read a couple of these other texts because they tie into what happened last night at the ESPYs. Somebody says, Wade was the king of the ESPN Awards show last night, as it should have been. Somebody says, we're all a pain in our various relationships. It's only human nature. However, the Wades demonstrate what we all should chase. Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay, I like that.
Meanwhile, I wanted to ask you, let's finish this one thought here. Because we talked about the gymnast, and so people were chiming in that, hey, how hard is it for a gymnast to get a perfect 10 in gymnastics versus pulling off a multilateral play to win a game at the end? And yes, I would argue that the football play was more of a miracle than, say, the gymnastics play, but it's voted on by the fans. So whatever reason, that resonated with people, that won. But I will admit that as a sports fan who respects all the sports, and I'll watch gymnastics during the Olympics. But outside of that, not too much. I'll admit that. The Miami Miracle should have won the best play. It should have.
I didn't see the floor routine that won it.
She did, at the end of it, she did like a full, like, almost a violent full split and then bounced back up. And it was impressive.
But didn't another young lady just get a perfect score from like Stanford or something? Yeah, there was like another girl that
I don't think it's all that
she was
uncommon.
Unbelievable, like one of the top gymnasts. But I mean, come on, look at the play that the Dolphins pulled off. That was unbelievable.
I'm with you. Like I don't know why that didn't win, but anyway, like it's an ESPY award. It's not the end of the world.
This is true.
Kenny and Drake was there last night, and unfortunately didn't get to go up to accept the award. However, somebody we talked about yesterday. And his ears must have been burning, although we're not the only ones who talk about him. He tends to be talked about a lot all over the country.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But Odell Beckham Jr. showed up last night, and it would turn into this trending topic because he has cut off the blonde curls in his hair, and so now he's just got his natural hair color. And then I don't know what the heck he was wearing last night.
That's high fashion, baby.
What the heck was that?
That's high fashion right
Somebody
there.
Somebody says OBJ looked like he was wearing a brown paper bag with pockets and straps.
I thought it looked more like a Girl Scout, you know, delivering some cookies. But
it literally looks like a kangaroo, like the pocket that they have in the stomach.
Yeah. Well, babe, listen, we're all laughing
like
at this.
He was wearing a pouch.
Right.
We're all laughing at this. And sure enough, you're going to see all these people with a little bit of money go buy that stupid, ugly outfit. You're just going to see it. I'm sorry, but you are. And then people are going to wear it and you're going to be like, please take that off. You cannot pull it off like he can. Come on.
How many people do you think you'll see down in Miami in the club scene trying to pull that
with
outfit?
That outfit?
Yeah.
I will at least see one person in the club if I go to the club in the next 2 weeks.
with that
at least
outfit.
One. Yeah, because there's always, you still got the ball players that are in town. You still got the basketball players that are in town. And then the soccer guys, some of them are here. Mm. And then you're going to have like the rich guys that do something else. And someone's going to rock that. Because you remember when Pharrell busted out that big hat? A super huge hat at the, I think it was Emmys or the Oscars or whatever.
Yeah, and that turned into a trend.
The very next day in the club, some dude had that big ugly hat.
Cam Newton wears the hat too all the time.
Yeah.
Post game.
And how many people clowned him for that big hat?
But Pharrell was the originator, right?
Yes.
He's the first one that I saw wear that huge hat.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you go into the club scene, you're like, yeah, my man, you ain't Pharrell. just go ahead and take that off. There's some people that can pull certain swag. It ain't you. It's not you. But someone's going to do that. I tried to figure out the cost, but I couldn't find anywhere how much it costs.
Yeah, I was wondering what the ballpark cost of that outfit would be.
Being Prada, probably being one of the first off the line for him to bust out, I'm guessing that's going to be a $10,000 to $15,000 shirt, jacket, however you want to call it.
Now, do you think he bought that or somebody paid him to wear it? Or like,
no, they probably paid him to wear it.
Like volunteered him.
They probably paid him to wear it.
Because like you see that at like the big Hollywood events where these actresses will have these enormous pieces of jewelry on, and you know they cost a ton of money, but they're just loaning it to them for the night.
I'm sure that he could have got that if he wanted to for free, but knowing Odell, that's probably in his closet now because he's always been one to say, I don't care what you think about my fashion, I like to be different. Like if you notice the outfits he's worn to all the ESPY awards and all the big time awards, they're always out there. I mean, literally, he wore a kilt to the gala. What's that? The Met Gala.
Met Gala, yeah.
So, I mean, a guy wearing a kilt in America doesn't really tie in because now everyone's like, oh, he's wearing a dress and everything else. No, it's a kilt. But, yeah, he's always, you know, off the wall with his outfit. So, I'm sure he bought that.
Yeah, and last year, I remember seeing him, and he was, like, last year was when the trend of wearing the suit.
The shorts.
With the suit shorts.
Yeah, that's so ugly.
Because LeBron and the Cavs did it.
Yeah.
And then Odell was wearing them as well, and now that's still turned into a thing. I don't understand that.
It's not a thing I'm ever going to try to attempt to pull
off.
It's
like Zeke Elliott. Didn't he show the belly when he got drafted?
Yeah, he had the halter top or the cutoff, whatever you want to call it, and yeah.
Yeah, that's weird, too.
Not a lot of people try to pull that one off either because, yeah, that's not good right there.
not a good look.
That's not a good look. Mm-mm. You weren't... You can't wear that in certain cities if you don't want certain attention. How about we say that? I'll just leave it at that.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Somebody says, if we haven't seen the gymnastics routine, highly suggest you do so. It's amazing.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm questioning, and again, I'm a little biased here, but I'm questioning whether that was better than what the Dolphins pulled off. And, you know, like, listen, it wasn't just that the Dolphins pulled off a miracle play with the laterals and everything, but it was also against the Patriots, and it was also Rob Gronkowski taking the bad angle to finish that playoff.
There was a lot to that play.
Right, there was so many different elements to that.
There was a lot to that play.
And I may or may not have, prior to the Dolphins determining who their new head coach was going to be, said that the Dolphins definitely should not hire Brian Flores because technically he was kind of responsible for that in a roundabout way. But again, they weren't listening to me. So now I wish him the best.
Yeah, I mean, it is him and stuff like that, but it's also your offensive and the head coach with who you put as the last guy, because that's always normally like a big receiver or somebody to jump up there. But you got to put a little more athletic dude because...
But it wasn't a Hail Mary situation.
Exactly.
That was the thing. It's like, if it is a Hail Mary, like if they're at like the 40-yard line, then it's like, okay, put Gronk in there, he can knock it down.
Yeah, like they used to do that with Randy Moss back when they had him.
Yes.
Calvin Johnson was a known one.
Right.
Fitzgerald.
Like, that makes sense.
But you should have just put in your prevent defense.
Correct.
And just call it a day. But you want to put in Gronk, who's not the most nimble-footed guy out there. Big dude. Wouldn't call him the most swift, smooth type of dude.
No.
Yeah, he didn't take the right angle, but Dolphins fans are happy.
I'm not complaining about it.
Not at all. Just complaining that they didn't get the award.
That's for sure. Yeah, I think that award would have been warranted. All right, Brian, let's take a timeout. We got more text rolling in here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 560-22. 560-22. We got all sorts of people who are chiming on different things, which is always entertaining. Okay. I know when we come back, Brian, we talked yesterday about the NBA versus the NFL and the player empowerment, player mobility. It appears that one of the NFL players is fairly prominent, especially if you play fantasy football, has been listening and seeing all this and has some demands for his team. We'll tell you about that when we come back here on QAM.
Radio.com.
Well, I think we're all happy because Twitter is back up and running, though it appears to have a few glitches. First thing I did when Twitter was restored, I checked out Woj's account.
Gotta make sure.
There's nothing new. Nothing new. No Westbrook update. Nothing like that. So
he didn't break the internet.
No, no.
Not this time.
It wasn't him, but that was a good thought, GQ, that perhaps the Woj bomb blew up Twitter. Inevitably, we'll get one of those. We think, involving Westbrook and the Heat, but who knows?
We'll
see how this all plays out. We'll reset some of that news as the show goes on in terms of what the negotiations are looking like. But right now, no updates on that situation. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe in for Hawk and Crowder. GQ with us as well. Okay, this story popped up today, and it's interesting timing considering how much conversation there's been about the NBA players and forcing their way out and you know, potentially asking for trades and all this other stuff. Adam Schefter reported today that running back Melvin Gordon has informed the Los Angeles Chargers that unless he receives a new contract, he will not report to training camp and he will demand a trade, his agent Fletcher Smith told ESPN. Smith said he and Gordon did not want to go this route, but because of the lack of progress in negotiations and the offers the Chargers made this offseason, they felt it necessary to voice their displeasure in an effort to reach a more satisfying outcome, whether with a new contract or a trade. Gordon, who's 26 years old, scheduled to be heading into the last year of his contract, a fifth-year option worth $5.6 million. Meanwhile, other top running backs Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell recently have received new deals, and Gordon wants to be the next one added to that list. He is unwilling to take a Chargers offer that does not put him near the salaries of those top running backs. For those who don't know, he's been voted to two Pro Bowls. He rushed for an average of 5.1 yards per carry and recorded 14 total touchdowns last season. He also averaged 114.6 scrimmage yards per game, the best by any Chargers player since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2007. So, I don't know how this is going to be resolved here, Brian, but as one of the things we talked about a lot yesterday is that if you are a quarterback in the NFL, you have some leverage. And, you know, it's very rare that you see an Antonio Brown, for example, get his way and be traded. But he had to create a mess to do that, and he had a huge contract. But for Melvin Gordon, I mean, I feel like he is in his right to want a bigger contract. But based on the way the NFL is structured and the way things go, I have high doubts that anything's actually going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen. What's going to happen is this. Oh, you want to show up at training camp? No problem. We'll just fine you every single day you're not there. Now, you're still on your rookie deal, so it doesn't mean you have big-time money. San Diego's not cheap. I've been there before. So let's just say roughly the fine is $5,000 a day, $10,000 a day. Okay, we'll see how long you hold up with that. Then you want to get into the season. He's making $5.6 million. I don't know how much of that is a offseason bonus or whatever. Let's just say you split it up into the 16 games. That's roughly $350,000 he's making per game checks. That's a lot of money to leave on the table, especially when you haven't hit a big contract yet.
Yeah.
So they'll go back and forth, and they'll say, hey, by the way, you know, 2017, we rushed for 1,105 yards. And 2018, we had 10 touchdowns, and we averaged 5.1. And I expect the Chargers to come back and go, yeah, in the previous three seasons before that, your best per average was 3.9. So should we pay you off of the 1 year or the whole body? Because in football, they look at you as a used car. You ever been dinged? Carfax, right there. They're going to use that against you in your negotiation. And then also, just like we talked about with Duke Johnson, the running back position is looked completely different now than they used to 5, 7 years ago. It's running backs by committee.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're upset. I know you want to be paid like a Todd Gurley. But let's go ahead and look at what Todd Gurley did on the field. compare your stats. Yeah, you're not there. You're just not. So you might want it, but you're not going to get it. And he has no power in the situation. He has none. This is, like we said, this is not basketball. He's not a superstar. He's not elite.
Right.
He's a very good running back in this league. He put up 10 touchdowns last year. Granted, a lot of those were inside the two, inside the one. But if you're comparing stats for the elite running backs, sorry, man. You're going to have to take this deal. Or you could do a Le'Veon Bell and sit out. But
well,
all saw how that went.
He also played 12 games last year.
And there you
go. So look, like his first year, 14 games, then 13. He played a full 16 in 2017, but in 2018, 12 games.
Carfax.
So, you know.
Right there.
That doesn't help your cause either.
No.
And so, you know, in fewer games, he averaged 5.1 yards per carry. As you mentioned, he had an average over 4 yards per carry or over 3.9 in a season prior to that. So, I mean, he's a good player, but, and I hate to say this, but the way the NFL works, especially at that position, I feel it's only the elite guys that get the big contracts.
And if you're saying you want Todd Gurley money, Todd Gurley in 2017, 1,305 yards, 4.7, 13 touchdowns. Todd Gurley in 2018, 1,251 yards, 4.9, 17 rushing TDs. And that's not me throwing in the receiving touchdowns either.
Right.
So you're nowhere near the Todd Gurley money. Now I know all these guys look at it as, oh, the next guy up is going to make that money. No, no, the next elite player in certain positions is going to make that money. Not everybody's going to make the next type, like, what's his name? Dak Prescott.
Yes.
So he's one of the next quarterbacks up. Do you really think the Cowboys are going to give him money to break the record right now and guarantees? I don't. I don't think he's shown enough to be that next guy up as elite.
Correct. Like, he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid great.
He's not going to set the new market value.
Exactly. And Todd Gurley's got to look at it and be like, I mean, not Todd Gurley. Melvin Gordon's got to look at it and say, I want to get paid like him, but I didn't produce like him. And yes, he got injured this past year, but he already had his contract. You have been dinged up every single time you've been in this league. And trust me, the NFL does not forget. The first thing they talk about is, yeah, but you know, you had this injury and this injury. So what we're going to do is we're going to put in this injury clause. So, just like you only played X amount of games last year, you're going to lose $5 million. Cool with that? Cool. Like, I have friends that'll tell you they lost more money than made because of injury and taxes. It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And that's the thing about, like, NFL contracts people don't realize. When you see someone that says, oh, $100 million contract, he ain't going to see $100 million. We're not talking about just taxes. He ain't going to see $100 million because there's so many different incentives in that contract. There's so many different bonuses. They're never going to see. There's like bonuses for you as a running back that your offense has to be top five. What?
Depending on each individual structure of their deal. But you're right. Like when we see an NBA contract, we know. Okay,
you're going to see that money.
Kawhi Leonard signs a three-year, $103 million deal, $103 million.
Yep.
Every time an NFL contract is announced, you're always like, okay, well, that's the report. The agent's putting the number out there. What's the guarantees? What's the fine print read?
All I care about an NFL contract is what's the guaranteed. That's it. Because a lot of times you see in the NFL too, last 2 years of the deal, hey, you really live up to it. Hey, we need you to restructure. Oh, you don't want to restructure? We're cutting you. And that doesn't mean NBA cut, baseball cut. We're cutting you. It means you leaving $25 million on the table. What happened to the $100 million? We took it back.
Yeah, it's a harsh, harsh reality.
Ooh, man, that's why they want to get in the talks now with the CBA, because they're really going to go to bat for that more guaranteed money for the NFL guys before that, I believe it's the 2021 season. And that's why they are scared of a work stoppage, because there's a lot that these guys want now.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it being more guaranteed money, part of it being better benefits for retirees and better benefits for their guys. But it'll be interesting. But I feel for Melvin Gordon. He isn't the first, and he won't be the last. But right now, in this situation I was set up, he's in a lose-lose situation.
One quick note on this before we take a timeout. Last fall, SI.com posted this on Twitter, on their Twitter account at SI Now. It says, last fall, SI spent a day with Melvin Gordon, and when asked by his dad, he shared his thoughts on Le'Veon Bell sitting out last season. and they were going back and forth, and his dad was like, "Oh, he's going to sit out this year?" And he goes, "Yeah, I would too." Mm. So I don't know if he's going to go that route, but that's something to at least keep in mind as we monitor this situation.
I mean, listen, Le'Veon thought he was getting Todd Gurley money, right? $45 million guaranteed. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but I believe he got 28 guaranteed for sitting out the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was considered at one point the most elusive, the best offensive weapon in the NFL. No one thinks of that as Melvin Gordon. So you could sit out if you want and put that $5.6 million to the side. But don't think you're coming back and getting some big old Todd Gurley money. That's not happening, especially when you're dinged up.
No, that's for sure. All right, Brian, we're going to come back. We'll kick off the 4 o'clock hour. You know, it's never too early to talk about the upcoming football season.
No, never.
Especially when we're talking about the quarterback situation. And I could be talking about the Dolphins. I could be talking about the Canes. You're here, though. I want to talk about the Miami Hurricanes and what they're going to do at quarterback. We'll get into that when we come back here on 560 WQAM.